May not be before you very long this afternoon. I have had some good thoughts thinking about the scripture this morning, and the Lord has blessed us with a sweet song service, and I just feel very much right now in need of His blessing to be able to preach to you and share with you some of the thoughts that we have had as well as what He would give us this afternoon. I'm very, very thankful for the prayer that's been offered and for each of you being here, and just want to continue to pray for one another that the Lord would supply what we need at our little church and each and every time we meet. I'd like to call your attention to one of the Psalms. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read it in your hearing. It's the 113th division of the Psalms, Psalm 113. And it's just 9 verses here, but filled, as all the scripture is, with the wonderful riches of the mysteries, the treasures of Almighty God. And we're so thankful for His Word and for all that it says to us, and I just pray that He'll allow us to share some of that this afternoon. If you have your Bibles and like to read with me, I'm going to read it in your hearing. Psalm 113, beginning at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And certainly we can see the subject of this passage of Scripture in the first line and also the last part, the very last saying in verse 9 is to praise ye the Lord. It's an admonition, a commandment, and I believe to God's little children that that's what we're to be about. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and I've often read this scripture in your hearing, I feel led to do that again this afternoon. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, God's little children are identified here as a people that are chosen of God. And in chapter 2 and verse 9, He says to the Lord's people, He says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And we are those things," He says, "that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." God's little children were chosen before the very foundation of the world, and they were generated, made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ, given the ability to be a royal priesthood, that is, kings and priests unto God. And they were a holy nation, a separate nation, separated by the grace of God, called out in this world and set apart. And they are a peculiar people, which means they are purchased people. They were bought and paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might think, why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord have Himself a chosen generation? Why would He equip them to be a kings and priests unto God, a royal priesthood? Why would they be separate from anyone else in this world? What's the purpose of that? Why are they a purchased people, a peculiar people, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus? And all of that was for a purpose, as God is a God of purpose. This was for a purpose, and that was that they should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you, or called them, out of darkness into His marvelous light. In other words, God's given you life for a purpose and for a reason. And the purpose of God's little children is that they would praise the Lord. And the psalmist here tells us that's a commandment. That's something we're to do. Now, he's not speaking to everybody, but he's speaking to God's children, God's chosen elect family. We know from the scripture that though the dead should praise the Lord, the dead do not praise the Lord. Over in Psalm 115, there's a little verse there, number 17, verse 17 of Psalm 115, right close by that you can look at. It says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any they go down into silence." And so in order to be able to praise the Lord, you got to be alive. You got to be living. And you got to be alive. The dead don't praise the Lord. Now, this is not the corporal dead, those who are dead in their bodies. We believe that God's little children who have died, that though their body is dead and that body is not actively praising the Lord, we believe that in their spirit and their soul, they're present with the Lord. And we believe, and the Bible teaches, that they are actively, presently, today, right now, this moment, praising God. If you want to know what's happening in heaven, a lot of people think they have some idea about what heaven's going to be. I'm telling you, one of the things that we are absolutely sure about heaven, it's going to be a place of praise and honor. And that praise and honor is going to be given to the Lord. And those of God's little children who have died and gone home to be with the Lord, though their body is dead, and with the exception of Enoch and Elijah, who are in their body, translated in their body, they're the spirits, the spirit and soul of God's little children have departed. Those that are dead are with the Lord. Their body is dead, but their spirit and the soul are alive in the presence of the Lord, and they're praising the Lord. That's happening today in heaven. And I believe Enoch and Elijah are in their body and their soul and in their spirit, already translated. They are praising the Lord. That's the activity of heaven. And what he's saying to us here is that that needs to be the activity of our lives. It's certainly what happens when we come to church. Brethren, we've met to praise the Lord. We're here to worship Him, to honor Him, and to talk about Him. And it really is what we're to do each and every day in every activity of our life. If we remember that's our purpose when we get up in the morning, why am I alive? That's important for you. It will be a help to you. It'll be a benefit to you. If you constantly remind yourself of the purpose that you're here in this world, it'll cause you not to be so upset when things don't go the way you like them to go, and also cause you to be very, very thankful when the Lord allows you to see it, that every day the Lord daily loads us with so many blessings and so many benefits that this is the day the Lord had made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's why he said over in the scripture in Philippians 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." It's a commandment that's given both Old and New Testament that we are all to be about praising the Lord. That's what we're to be doing. When I'm murmuring and complaining, I'm not praising the Lord. When I get in doubts and fears, I'm not praising the Lord. When things get where they upset me in this world, I'm really not praising the Lord. Now, am I saying to you that I'm going to ever get to the place where nothing ever upsets me, or I never have doubts or fears, or I don't ever murmur and complain? I may never get there, but I ought to desire the best I can to live my life as free from that as I can, because when I'm wrapped up in those things which come out of the lust of the flesh, the old flesh, we know there's a warfare going on, the spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, not to live in the dark, but to walk and alive and awake and realize that every day, every hour, every moment, every second, God's given me enough right now that I ought to be about praising Him. And the more I'm actively praising Him, the more pleasant, the more precious, the more rest, the more joy, the more that I'll enjoy the great blessings that the Lord has given to me. And all of that comes by and through His grace. So we never get to the place we can pat ourselves on the back. But it's my duty and responsibility as a minister to remind you to do that. So I'm trying to do that this afternoon. And I want you to do that with me. You said, "Brother Gary, we've known this all this time." Yes, but we sometimes act like we don't know. Sometimes we forget it, don't we? We need to be reminded. What is my life about? My life. Why am I here? Why do I have to go through things that I go through? And why do I face all the circumstances of life? We know this, that God is not the cause of many things that take place that are sin, anything that is sinful, that is that is confusion. God's not the author of that. But we also know God's in control. And God's on His throne. And He's high above all gods and all things. And therefore, as we go through our lives and face all of life's problems and situations, every day, even our worst day, we have a sufficient reason to be praising the Lord. And when we think we don't, sometimes we get that idea. I don't have anything to be thankful for. Well, we're just wrong. And we need to be told and taught that we're wrong. And the Word of God does that. It tells us, it shines a light. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Now, that identifies who we are. When we get the idea, this is all about me. That I'm here for me. And everything revolves around me. That's man's nature, to think everything revolves around him. We see from the... We're like the center of our world, aren't we? When we look out, we see everything else. And we don't see us unless we're looking in the mirror. And then when we look in the mirror, sometimes even in the mirror of God's Word, we don't see ourselves as clearly as we ought to see. And we start seeing things. We get all mixed up when we start thinking this world is about me and about what I want and what I'm doing. Now, and that's easy for us to do. And if we don't actively fight it, it'll happen. And the next thing you know, we get all upset about everything because we think life's just not been kind. You know, and let's remember this. God has been so good to us already that if we don't get another good thing from His hand, we got every reason today to be thankful to Him. You just start counting your blessings. Just start thinking about how good the Lord has been to you. When we get on the inside and all we can see is on the outside, the next thing you know, we get a pity party going on. We get to feeling sorry for ourselves. We think about what I can't do. We start thinking about what I'd like to do, what I used to do. And a lot of times with my mind, it is about what I used to be. You know, used to be able to do this and used to be done, got up and gone. And it isn't anymore. And for me, a lot of the used to be will never be again. It's gone. And in the light of things, and if I think about it, I'm only here for a little while, and our life is but a vapor, and it soon passes away. And how good the Lord has been up to this point in my life, but here I am at this point, and what am I here for? What's the purpose? I'm here to praise the Lord. And as long as He's given me breath, as long as He's given me life, every day, every hour, my duty and my responsibility is to praise Him. And I am to think about all the good things He's done for me, and I am to praise Him. I am just continue, keep on praising Him. And know this, that God is able to give us exactly what we need. He supplies our every need, our every want. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. We've got a God who's worthy of our praise. We've got a God who's due our praise. We've got a God who deserves our praise by His very nature and by His very character. All men everywhere ought to praise Him. They won't. But God's little children are made and equipped to be able to do it. We've been given faith to be able to believe in Him. Isn't it good to believe in Him today? To know you're not alone. You go to the doctor and he gives you his diagnosis and you say, well, that's okay, but I got a great physician that might have another plan and I'm looking to him. He's the one I'm dependent upon. And if he doesn't have another plan for me and this is the course he would have for me, then he'll give me grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He does not lie, and he told me that he'll be always with me. Yea, though I walk even through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil, for he is with me, and his rod and his staff, they will comfort me. And he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely a promise is given. Surely goodness and mercy. Hear this. Goodness and mercy will what? Follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Now that's a promise of God. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. Why is He your shepherd? Because He chose you. Why did He choose you? Because He wanted to. He desired to. It was according to His own good pleasure that He did that. You are a chosen generation. And then He gave you life. Why did He give me life? So that you'd praise Him. So when are we going to be happy as God's little children? When we're praising Him. And when we stop praising Him, that's when we start thinking about all the other stuff that we have to face in this old world, and we stop praising Him, then we cease to be doing what He would have us to do, and we begin to walking in a way that it displeases Him, and we don't enjoy it. We don't lose our life, but we sure lose the joy of it. And today I want your joy to be full. How can my joy be full when everything's going like it is? I can praise Him. I want you praising. As we praise Him, and we praise Him together. Isn't it good to praise Him together? Isn't it good to sing together? Isn't it good to come together at His house and to just sit together in heavenly places in Christ? And what we're here for is to praise the Lord. And as we live our lives, our desire ought to be, may the actions of my life, may my heart, my soul be about praising Thee. And may that be I understand my purpose. I understand why I'm here. Praise ye the Lord. He says, praise, O ye servants of the Lord. That means we're not in charge. You know, that's a wake-up call for most of us, isn't it? When we come to the place we realize, I'm just not in charge. I can't fix this. This is bigger than I am. I'm not in control. I can't handle it. I can't. Without me, Jesus said to the disciples, ye can do nothing. And that's where we are. Where am I without the Lord? I have no help. I can't handle it. Whether I'm young and got my life all in front of me, or if I'm at the twilight years of my life where there's just a few more days left for me. Whatever the case may be, I want to remember, I'm His servant. He's the master. That means He's the one in control. It is the Lord. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Now, I heard one man say that, and that means you're not. And you know, in other words, know ye that the Lord, He is God, is to recognize He's God, and there's not room for many gods. There's only one God. I'm not God. It's not my way. It's His way. It's not my thoughts. It's His thought. He's God. I'm not. And therefore, I can face life and its troubles, realizing God's in control. I'm not. And when I look to Him, I'll have all that I need. I can say to you today with surety that as God's little child, you have everything right now already given to you that you'll ever need. He has already equipped you. His divine power has already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Already given to you. Already there. Now, a lot of times we act like we don't have it because we don't use it. We don't exercise it. We don't think about it. And it's important what we're thinking about. We need to have our thoughts on what the Lord has done for us. And that's what praising the Lord does. Praise ye the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord. What a blessing to be a servant of the Lord. Some people say, well, I'd rather be free and not be the servant of the Lord. You're going to be the servant of something. And I'll tell you, before we were the servant of the Lord, we were the servant of sin. We were a servant in bondage and the captivity of the devil. We had no will or desire to serve God. In order to be His servant, you got to be set free from being the servant of sin. And He's brought us from out of that captivity and made us His servant. Oh, how much better it is to be His servant. You want to find a free man? Find a servant of the Lord. One who recognizes, I owe everything to Him. Do you owe everything to Him today? You do, whether we recognize it or not. But if you recognize that, you've truly been blessed of the Lord to realize He's been so good to me and I owe Him everything. You know, and when you recognize that, it's hard to complain about things that we sometimes complain about, isn't it? When we recognize how good the Lord's been to us. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. That means praise be given unto the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I love this. He says, from this time forth and forevermore. That means right now, right where we are, this moment, and from the time that He wrote this, as well as the time you're at right now, I can't do what I didn't do yesterday, but from this time forth, from right now, I blessed praise be to the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That means all the time. And the next verse says everywhere. This verse says all the time. When are you supposed to praise the Lord? All the time. And where are you supposed to praise the Lord? Everywhere. The next verse says, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. That sounds like time, but it's really talking about where the sun comes up and where the sun sets. And if you look where the sun comes up and where the sun sets, that's everywhere, isn't it? That's the whole world. Where Where are we to be praising the Lord? Everywhere. When are we to be praising the Lord? All the time. When do we just praise the Lord? Do we owe Him just Sunday? Or do we owe Him Saturday? Or do we owe Him Monday? What day do we owe Him? We owe Him every day. And every day is His. Somebody said, the Lord's given me 6 days. And I mean, He's got one day, but He's given me the other six. No, He owns them all. And by the way, He owns all the world. All the cattle of 1,000 hills belong to Him. Everything, the world is His. And the fullness thereof. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you for anything to eat. The Lord doesn't need me, but I sure need Him. And He's a God. He's a God who is to be praised. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. If you just flip over a couple psalms to Psalm 135, we have some language here that's very similar that talks about how wonderful it is to be able to do this. He said Psalm 135 says almost the exact same as the first verse of Psalm 113. He says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. It just kind of reverses those two phrases. And then in verse 2 it says, ye that stand in the house of the Lord and in the court, and then in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. In other words, when we come into the house of God today, and we're here to praise the Lord. It's not about anything else. It's good to hear preaching, but if the preaching doesn't praise the Lord, it's not good preaching. Preaching ought to praise the Lord. And singing is not good singing if it doesn't praise the Lord. Prayer is not good prayer unless it praises the Lord. Even our fellowship together, if it gets to be about anything other than praising the Lord, then it's not where it ought to be. Everything in the Lord's church has been designed to praise the Lord. The ordinances of baptism are about praising the Lord. Communion is about praising the Lord. Our preaching and our praying and our singing is all about praising the Lord. And if we do not, and to praise the Lord, we have to believe in Him. That's an exercise of faith. And we have to love Him. That's an exercise of love. And both of those fruit are absolutely necessary in praising the Lord. He said, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord, and ye that stand in the house of the Lord and in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. And there's a reason to praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Now, where is the Lord good? Everywhere. And how long is the Lord good? All the time. Everywhere, all the time. Why should we praise the Lord? Because the Lord's always good. That's important for us to know. Because sometimes we can get a thing thinking, well, God hadn't been so good to me. That the things aren't good. Can God's little children get like that? Well, read in the Scripture. And you'll see from time to time, God's little children get confused about the goodness of the Lord. And they feel like the Lord hasn't really treated them just the way He ought to treat them. But remember this, as far as God's children are concerned, the Lord is good. And as far as anyone really is concerned, God is always good. One thing we are never going to be wrong to say the Lord is good. And He's good all the time. We got a good God. We don't have a bad God. He's a powerful God. He's an awesome God. He is who He is. But aren't you glad He's good? Isn't it a good thing He's good? Oh, it's a blessing. What should we praise Him for? Because He's so good. Oh, the Lord has been... Isn't that what the hymn writer was saying when he said, the Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise His name because I got every reason to be thankful today. He says, lift up... go ahead and he says, let's see. He said, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. That means when we're at the church house, when we're worshiping the Lord. He said, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. That's good. You want to do something pleasant? Well, sing. Sing unto the Lord. So I need something pleasant. Well, just sing unto the Lord. Give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory. Sing unto His, for it is pleasant. And then he said in verse 4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. Listen. You have been chosen by Almighty God for His own particular use to be praising Him. You are chosen unto Him. You are His peculiar treasure. And that's something to think about, how the Lord sees His people. Now, how could that possibly be? through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. And then he goes in verse 5 and says, "For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods." And notice right over here in Psalm 13, he says, "For the Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens." That's how good our God is. You think about America and how America has been a great nation. And we think about other empires that have come and gone and how they were great empires. And we think of their great power and all that they did and all that they've been capable of doing. And truly we can say in our nation, the Lord has blessed our nation. But I'll tell you, we have a God who's above all nations. He's above all empires, above all powers, all kings. He's the King of kings, isn't he? He's the Lord of lords. One that is above all others. And that's the Lord. And he says His name is high above all nations. That means we should so much highly exalt His name above every name. He is above all names, and His glory above the heavens. You look at the heavens and you just get carried away looking at the heavens. All you have to do is get out in this world that the Lord has made, and you can soon get carried away with His creation. You can stand up on the mountains and look over into the valleys and you get carried away with the beauty of the valleys. Or you can stand in the valleys and look up at the mountains and you get carried away with the beauties of the mountains. If you look straight up and just get carried away just by looking straight up. Or you can look straight down and get carried away just by looking down. And what the Lord has done everywhere, when the Lord allows you to see it, you see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You can see His beauty and His glory. And think about this. Even His creation doesn't begin to declare His greatness, because we even looked at it through marred eyes and marred vision. And even the earth that's made, we look at a marred planet. How beautiful must heaven be where sin has never entered? What that must look like. And then above heaven itself, seated on the right hand of His majesty, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. And there is the Father on the throne, and the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How beautiful must it be to see Him in face to face in heaven? He is high and His glory is above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? And we can say that answer real quick. Nobody. No, nobody's like our God. And notice, He's not just the Lord who is a God. He's the Lord our God. He's a personal God. He's your God. Listen, you have a God unlike all other gods. You have a God who never tells anything but the truth. You have a God who works His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there's none that can stay His hand. Psalm 115 is all about men who... It tells us about men who make idols, and those idols are like unto Himself. That's not the God that we serve. Our God is not an idol. Our God is a God worthy of our trust and worthy of our praise. We got a great physician who cannot fail. One we can lean upon. He says, "The Lord, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high." Somebody said, "But where is God?" Well, He's on high. And the Bible says He inhabits eternity. And I often share that with you because I don't know how to explain it, so I like saying it. He inhabits eternity. And that's how great our God is. Just think about a God. You think about eternity and get wrapped up in it. God inhabits it. God, that's our God. And our God, He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present and He's nowhere absent. He's omniscient. There's not anything He doesn't know. There's not anything hidden from Him. He's a God of love. And He's a God of mercy. God is love. He's a God full of mercy, rich in mercy. He's a God of truth. He's a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. He's the awesome, righteous, almighty God. He is our Heavenly Father. He's Jehovah, who has all power. He is God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit that's taken up His abode in our hearts and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He lives in us. He's our Holy Comforter. He's the one the Scripture says He's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? God is so high that He humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven. You and I just think about it. If I could just see heaven, boy, that would be beautiful, wouldn't it? I want you to know God has to humble Himself to look at heaven. The angels, when God looks at the angels that have not fallen, the holy angels that you and I, when men see those holy angels, they remember at the tomb when they saw the angels, they were afraid because of the glistening apparel that they wore and what an angel must look like. I'll tell you, to see the glory of God and the creation of an angel is overwhelming for man. But I'll tell you, God has to humble Himself to even look at an angel. He's so much higher above the angels. He's above all others. And not only did He humble Himself to behold the angels, He humbled Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. I think about Jesus coming here in the form of a flesh. How much it had been for the Son of God, who was barely with the Father, to lay His glory aside and come to this earth and there and in a period of years live in this earth and suffer and bleed and die in our room instead. And listen, it had not been no... there would have been no hope for us had He not done that. And He says He humbled Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Verse 7, He says He raises up the poor out of the dust. Aren't you glad that God, though He's so high, didn't just leave us in the dust? You know where we were by nature, and this is our fallen nature. When He said raise you up, and when He says lift you up, doesn't that imply that we needed raising up and that we needed lifting up? And doesn't that imply that we had fallen? And certainly when in that fallen state was not just one of just sickness. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. And He raised us. He raised up the poor out of the dust. Isn't it good to know we got a God who raises the poor out of the dust? And He lifted the needy out of the dunghill. And a dunghill is not a pleasant, pretty place to be. That's where we were by nature. We were among the dust, and we would have remained in the dust and in the dunghill had God not humbled Himself, and Jesus had not come and taken upon Himself a body of flesh like unto us, except without no sin. There was no sin about Him, and He lived a perfect life that He might die in our room instead, that He could justifiably raise us up of the poor out of the dust and lift the needy out of the dunghill. And the place He's raised us to is that He may set Him with princes, even with the princes of His people. And that's something that you find in an old Baptist church that's really hard to understand. And one minute they tell you how rotten and no good you are, and the next minute they tell you you're the prince, you're princes. You're kings and priests unto God. You're His special, peculiar treasure. You belong to Him. He loves you. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's loved you before the very foundation of the world. And though you were in a fallen state, He came where you were, took you out of that state, and one day you will be with Him in heaven in immortal glory. Before the foundation of the world, He foreknew you. He called you. He predestinated you. He justified you. He glorified you. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, there's a reason today for you and I to praise the Lord. He has been so good to us. He set us with princes, even with the princes of His people. And now through the years, I've been blessed to sit among God's little children. Those many of them have gone home to be with the Lord. But you that are here today, there's no higher place on the face of this earth than when you meet with a group of God's little children in a place where you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And you're sitting among the princes, even the princes of His people. And we're princes not because we did something. It's because He raised us up out of the poor and out of the dunghill, and He set us to be with princes, set Him with princes, even with the princes of His people. And remember that God's little children are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us His brethren, not because of what we did, but because of what He has done for us. And then verse 9, and we'll close with this. He says, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And I believe this is a beautiful picture of the Lord's church, this verse. The Lord's church is like a mother to God's little children. She's a barren woman in that she doesn't make children. Church of God doesn't make children of God. We can't make children of God. I'm not here preaching today to try to make someone a child of God. I can't make one who doesn't know how to praise the Lord praise the Lord. I can't give them faith to believe in the Lord. I can't make them love the Lord. But I'll tell you, the God we serve has the power and does call every one of His children. He gives them faith. They are saved by grace through faith, and that not of themselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And He makes them alive. And then as a mother of children, we can encourage those of God's little children. We can act as a mother, that is, as a group, as a body of believers. We collectively, with individual members, help them along the way in this world. We help feed them with the Word. And of course, where does that come from? It comes from our husband. We've got a husband. Listen, the bride sometimes may get off track, but the husband, if the bride keeps her eyes on her husband, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about men and women in this world. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the husband that loved His bride so much that He washed her in His own precious blood and gave her the beautiful garments that she is to wear. And as that dear bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, wears those garments, it's a benefit to each and every individual member of the Lord's church. And she acts as a joyful mother of children. Anytime we're having a good meeting and we feel the joy of the Lord, you see the Lord's church acting as a joyful mother of children. The church didn't make the children, but she sure acts as a mother. It's been a mother to me. It's been a blessed place down through the years. My dear fellowship with God's little children here in this world. And then he concludes with how he started, "Praise ye the Lord." And I encourage each one of us to better and better as much as we can in our lives. It's so much better than complaining. And it's so much better to be around. It's a pleasant thing to be around when God's little children are praising the Lord. And when we're not, let's remind one another, help one another. That's how we're a mother. We act as a mother. And again, it doesn't make children to God, but it helps them. We'd encourage one another. Just praise the Lord. Remember to praise the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Any good thing, you praise the Lord. God bless you.